In one of the antiphons for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, we pray in the Divine Office, "With an everlasting love hath God loved us, and from the day that he was lifted up over the earth, he hath drawn us with loving kindness unto his heart." And in today's Holy Gospel, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Back to basics today with the doctrine of the Sacred Heart. We often mistake his love, that he loves only his saints, only those who are out there working miracles and performing virtuous acts, heroically virtuous acts. And then we forget the rest of the doctrine, that he loves also sinners. Everybody here today in this church is to one degree or another, to a greater or lesser degree, striving for holiness. Some are putting all of their strength into it, and others, well, maybe not so much effort is put into it. But to one degree or another, everyone here today is striving for holiness. Otherwise, you just wouldn't have woke up this morning and rolled out of bed and driven here before the tabernacle. But no matter what our effort, we still have to admit one thing. We are all sinners. We have our own infidelities, our own shortcomings, our failings, our sins, some of them very grievous sins. But this thought of all of our sins, whether are the sins of our past, which are very numerous, or the sins that we fear to commit in the future, the sins that we have on our soul now, should never be a source of discouragement or of despair. After all, today's gospel, as well as all the gospels, are filled with proofs and examples of the Sacred Heart's love, no, not only for his saints, but for sinners. It must have been, when you think about it, very trying for our Lord to live with his creatures. Did you ever stop to think about that? He was sweetness itself. He was patience itself, filled with infinite kindness and filled with every single virtue to an infinite degree. But it was because of his patience and charity that he bore so patiently with the sins and the faults of his own people. Our Lord loved his apostles, that is for sure. Despite their sometimes foolish ideas, they never did quite get the idea of the kingdom of Christ. It never sunk in until later on. And he loved them despite their ignorance, despite their falls into sin. He calmed them when they were afraid, and he taught them patiently over and over again the same old lessons. How often he forgave St. Peter, for example. There he was, he asked our Lord, "If it be you, Lord, call me on these waves. Command me to walk on the waters." And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And then St. Peter saw the waves coming at him, and he lost confidence. He sinned at that loss of confidence, we can assume. And he began to sink. But our Lord simply goes over to him and extends his hand and ever so gently chides him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt my providence?" And then later on, when our Lord was enduring his passion, St. Peter denies him, you know the story, three times he denies his God. And our Lord, with a look of love and of mercy, calls him back. And Peter from that day forth wept every single day, so much so that tradition tells us he wept so much that there was an indentation in his cheek that the tears had made because he cried so much over that sin. And then there was doubting Thomas. You know how he doubted our Lord's resurrection. He would not believe until he had seen for himself the mercy of the Sacred Heart. Then came to St. Thomas as well. He could have said, "You have all the proofs, all these other people that have witnessed it, believe them." But no, he comes, the apostles being in one room, and our Lord comes. He walks, it says, through the walls. And then he gives his hands and points to his side. He says, "Thomas, put your hand here, your finger here, and be not faithless, but believing." The infinite mercy of the Sacred Heart towards sinners. Our Lord was always so very gentle with his apostles, calling them back from their sins. And then, of course, there were the women, St. Mary Magdalene, that sinful, evil woman at one time in her life. But when our Lord passed through the town, she burst into the room and poured out the perfumes on our Lord's feet. The rest, all the other men sitting there in that room, they're ready to kick her out. She's a sinner, and she needs to go. But our Lord said on that occasion, "Many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much." You see the difference between how the world will look at a sinner and how our Lord looks at a sinner. And Dismas, what did he see in the bloody figure of Christ crucified? Another criminal? Another malefactor? Another sinner, perhaps? No, he saw his King by the grace of God. And on that occasion, it took but one word from Dismas. "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And that was enough to, so to speak, move the Sacred Heart to say to him, "Amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." What is it that makes the Sacred Heart love the sinner so much? Not that he loves the sinner as a sinner, but that he loves him in as much as he tries to bring him back to God. Well, there are a couple motives for this love. The first is that our Lord sees in the sinner a soul created by his Father, whom he loves infinitely. Created for God's eternal glory, made not for earthly happiness, but for eternal happiness. And secondly, it is the Sacred Heart's love for the Father which causes him to love the sinner and to long for his conversion. They say his heart is concerned with our souls. He desires us to be eternally happy, but he's concerned with us not in just some general, vague way. He's concerned with each of us because we are sinners and always in danger of losing the soul that he loves so much. And so it is that he keeps vigil on our altars every day to refresh our souls. The sinful soul of each sinner belongs to him. It has been bought and paid for, never to be taken back by anybody. We are Christ's. He bought us with his precious blood. You know this simple truth. We were bought at a very great price. And yet, his own people rejected him. But during his agony in the garden, it says, he suffered the very weight of sin itself. This is more proof of our Lord's love. All the horrors of all the sins of the whole world caused him such mental agony. And he began to sweat blood. Then, of course, in his passion, there was the scourging and the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the heavy cross. Of course, the crucifixion, too. There was the shamelessness. Imagine the shamelessness with which men dared to humiliate their God, to humiliate the immaculate Lamb of God who came to earth for no other purpose than to die for his sheep, to die for his friends. There was no regard for our Savior's person when the soldiers ripped off his garments, tearing off the skin with it. Then there was the diabolical hammering of the nails into our Lord's loving hands and feet. Whenever we speak of the crucifixion, we'll most likely overlook many details, but each detail of the passion is added evidence of the love that the Sacred Heart has for the sinner. For only charity, and the most perfect form of charity, can cause someone to go through all of that that he endured in the Passion. Only the most perfect charity, greater love than this no man hath, that he lay down his life for his friend. And true devotion to our Lord's Sacred Heart must take notice of this love that the heart of our Lord has for sinners. I'll read to you now a vision that expresses this, a vision that St. Margaret Mary had of the Sacred Heart and what he said to her on that occasion. She narrates it thus: "One day, when I was before the Blessed Sacrament exposed upon the altar, I felt an interior attraction which gathered together within myself all the powers of my soul and all my senses. At that moment, Jesus Christ appeared before me, all brilliant with glory. His five wounds, resplendent as five suns, from his sacred manhood issued flames on all sides. But above all, from his adorable breast, which was like a very furnace. In the midst of this burning furnace, he showed me his loving heart. It was then that he explained to me the unspeakable wonders of his love and showed me its exceeding power, since it made him love men from whom he received nothing but coldness and ingratitude. It is that, he said to me, which cuts me to the quick more than anything I have suffered in my passion. If they would but return me love for love, I should indeed think lightly of all that I have done for them. I would, if I could, do far more than I have done, but I receive from them nothing but coldness and affronts in return for all my eagerness to do them good." Such loving complaints, if we meditate on them, should change our hearts, cold and indifferent, ungrateful as they are. The sufferings of the Sacred Heart for sinners, furthermore, was so intense, so great, that Suarez, he was a very great theologian, listen to this quote that he said. This expresses to what lengths the love of the Sacred Heart would go to save sinners. He said, "The sufferings of Jesus for the sins of men exceed in intensity all the sufferings of the demons, or of men in general, no matter of what rank or station." His sufferings exceeded those of the angels who burn in the fires of hell. That is how much our Lord's Sacred Heart suffers for sinners. And during his life, the charity for the sinner made him leave nothing undone to save them. His life was one continuous work of mercy. And so now from the tabernacle, he says to all sinners who come to him, "I have compassion on the multitude." From here, he gives courage to the weak. He gives us courage to take up our crosses and to follow him. And he cleans our souls from sin. Going back to the Gospels, what else did he do for sinners? Well, he cured a man sick with the palsy, and he said, "Be of good heart. son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Then at the well, he met the Samaritan woman and extended to her the true faith. He saved the woman caught in adultery, whom everyone else was about to stone to death for her sin. He forgave Magdalene and made her a saint. He forgave the good thief and changed him into a saint on the cross. And it was Christ himself, remember this, who gave us all those beautiful parables in the Gospels. The parable of the Good Shepherd, the Good Samaritan, the father of the prodigal son, or the parable in today's Gospel of the 99 sheep. And in all of these parables, what is our Lord trying to express? But his own merciful heart, the mercy and the love of the Sacred Heart for sinners. His heart has not changed. Patience and mercy are still its greatest attributes. Now, before ending, I want to quote what our Lord said to another sister, a sister, I believe, of the Visitation Order, Sister Benigna Consolata, Benign Consolation. He said to her, "You will never be able to comprehend the joy it is to me to be a savior. The greater the misery of the soul, the greater joy I have in raising her out of it. My love for man feeds on the occasions he gives me of forgiving him. The soul should never be afraid of me. I am ever ready to show mercy. And the greatest joy my heart can have is to present the greatest number of sinners to my eternal Father." My dear faithful, we're all discouraged at times with our efforts, poor as they might be, and our falls. But never lose hope, because the Gospels once again prove Christ's love for the sinner. And our Savior has not changed. He is still the same Savior now that he was 2,000 years ago as he walked the streets of Jerusalem. It is the greatest joy for Christ to be a Savior. And therefore, approach his Sacred Heart with confidence. Cast your faults into that burning furnace, there to be burned away. And give him your loved ones, too, remembering that many of you have loved ones that need to be converted. Live your family consecration. And if you do this, his is a heart that loves. His is a heart that will draw all men to himself. But in the meantime, as we think of our sins but God's mercy, my sweetest Jesus, be not my judge, but my Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.